Join us today for Saints and Sinners, as we explore the history of saints and their walk from sinner to sainthood, especially those who walked the path of addiction. Let us not forget that every saint has a past and every sinner a future. Your hosts are Father Doug McKay and Ken Johnston.
And good afternoon and welcome to Saints and Sinners. Your host, Ken Johnston, and my good friend, Father Douglas Michael McKay. Hello, Father.
Hello, Kenneth Allen. God bless you and all of our listeners.
Amen. Concentrating on those confirmation names out there. I think for folks, a lot of folks made their confirmation in their spring, the spring months. I know I did. And as a matter of fact, I think the anniversary is coming up next month. I'll have to look at the exact date. But anyway, we want to praise and thank God for all of our listeners, and thank you for being with us today. Father and I will be here for the next hour, and I'll be on, stay on until 6 o'clock. So whatever part of the next couple of hours you can spend with us, we're very happy to have you. Father McKay and I are part of Our House Ministries, a ministry that works with the addicted and anyone else who comes to us. You can learn more about the ministry at ourhouseministries.org. Father and I are also available to come out and speak at your parish or other group, although Father's time is rather limited now since he's the rector out at Malvern. But you can try to get in touch with us through the Our House Ministries website or through Maureen here at In His Sign. A couple of announcements coming up on Sunday, April the 14th. We'll have our annual Wake Up America dinner, and we'll be out at the Malvern Retreat House. Again, that's Sunday, April the 14th from 1:30 to 5:30. The theme is Be Awake, Be Alert, Be Prepared. And our president, Kathleen McCarthy, will be on hand as the keynote speaker. We'll also have a special guest in her son in love. Mark Houck will be on hand, along with the broadcasters, engineers, and other volunteers. We'll have a silent auction. There'll be raffle prizes. And all are more than welcome to come out and join us. You can come by yourself. You can come as a couple, get a little bit of discount, $55 a person, $100 a couple, or $400 for a table of eight. We'll be getting a couple of tables, and we hope to see you there. For more information, you can go to our website at inhissign.com, scroll to the bottom of the homepage, and there's a link there where you can download the flyer. If you have any questions, you can always call Maureen here at 610-527-2906, 610-527-2906. Matt Talbot Shrine in St. Gabriel's Church is open on Tuesdays and Thursdays in the Grace Ferry neighborhood of South Philadelphia. The church is on the corner of 29th and Dickinson, and the shrine's open on Tuesdays and Thursdays from 9 a.m. until about 4:30 p.m. On Tuesdays, we have a holy hour from 3 to 4, followed by Matt Talbot Novena prayers. And then on Thursdays at 4 o'clock, we get together and pray the rosary before the shrine closes. All are more than welcome to come and pay a visit. If you're going to come down, get in touch with us. Let us know you're coming. We can come over and show you around. And speaking of Matt Talbot, plans are starting to get underway for the centenary celebration of Matt Talbot's passing, which was in 1925. So there'll be a number of events taking place at St. Gabriel's, the Malvern Retreat House, and if you're really adventurous, over in Ireland in 2025. A couple of retreats that are coming up. Father Chris Allar is going to be at Malvern May 10th to the 12th for the first annual Mother's Day retreat. That's a retreat for men and women, couples. And initially it said last week that Kathleen McCarthy was going to be with Father Allar, but not true. Kathleen has another commitment that weekend and will not be there. So But Father Chris Allar will be a Marian of the Immaculate Conception priest from Stockbridge, Massachusetts. Pretty popular guy these days on YouTube and other outlets with all kinds of talks on divine mercy and even lately on the divine will. So you can catch up with Father Allar at Malvern, again, May 10th to the 12th. For men, if you're looking for a retreat weekend, I'm captain of the weekend August 16th to the 18th. We'll be out there with Father Bryce Lundgren. Had him on last March talking about his book, The Catholic Cowboy Way. Father Lundgren will be coming in from Wyoming for that weekend retreat. To register for those two retreats or any other retreats at Malvern, you can visit their website at malvernretreat.com or call the Retreat House at 610-644-0400, 610-644-0400. Let's begin with prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.
Amen.
The following is the prayer for Matt Talbot's canonization. Lord, in your servant Matt Talbot, you have given us a wonderful example of triumph over addiction, of devotion to duty, and of lifelong reverence to the Holy Sacrament. May his life of prayer and penance give us courage to take up our crosses and follow in the footsteps of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Father, if it be your will that your beloved servant should be glorified by your church, make known by your heavenly favors the power he enjoys in your sight. We ask this through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Amen. O Mary, conceived without sin.
Pray for us who have recourse to thee.
O Mary, conceived without sin.
Pray for us who have recourse to thee.
O Mary, conceived without sin.
Pray for us who have recourse to thee and for all those who do not have recourse to thee, especially the enemies of Holy Church and those recommended to you.
Our Lady of Recovery and St. Joseph.
Pray for us.
Venerable Matt Talbot and St. Maximilian Kolbe.
Pray for us.
Our patron saints and guardian angels.
Pray for us.
St. Patrick.
Pray for us.
And all the saints and angels.
Pray for us.
May the divine assistance remain always with us.
And may the souls of the faithful departed through the mercy of God rest in peace. Amen.
Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Just came to me a couple other quick announcements. We have the Knights of Immaculata. We'll meet tomorrow night. It's Thursday night, March the 14th, out at the Malvern Retreat House. Normally we meet in the Blessed Carlo Acuta Center, but Bishop Shanahan High School, some of the students early evening and then their parents in the evening will be in the center. So the Knights of Immaculata will be meeting in St. Joseph's Chapel. That begins 7 o'clock tomorrow night. Again, that's Thursday, March the 14th. The Knights of Immaculata all are more than welcome to come out and be with us. And we'll cover it in the announcements. But the second Calyx meeting of the group that's meeting at Malvern will take place on Sunday, St. Patrick's Day the 17th, beginning with 4 o'clock Mass in St. Joseph's Chapel. Followed by refreshments and a Calyx meeting. We'll repeat that one after the break at the bottom of the hour when we talk about all the Calyx units here in the Archdiocese of Philadelphia. This is a one-hour call-in show. Anybody can call in and join in the conversations. The numbers are 610-527-2906. That's 610-527-2906. Or if you're listening from a distance, you can reach us at 888-34-FAITH, that's 888-343-2484. Especially want your calls as we go to the break at the bottom of the hour. When we come back from the break, we'll have our Is That Odd or Is That God segment. If God's touched you in a particular way recently and you want to share it with Father and I and some of our listeners, by all means, give us a call, and we'll get you on the air as soon as we come back from the break. We're currently in the fourth week of Lent. And oddly enough, only one saint in the calendar this week, and that would be St. Patrick, whose feast day we're going to celebrate this coming Sunday, the 17th. So, without any further ado, St. Patrick, there's all various legends, not a whole lot of stuff we can nail down, especially about his early life. I think he was born around the year 415. He would die around the year 493. Not sure exactly where he was born. There's claims that he was born in Dumbarton in Scotland, in Cumberland in England, or in Northern Wales. But he did call himself both a Roman and a Briton. So, really not sure exactly where his birth took place. At the age of 16, he and a bunch of his father's slaves were captured by Irish raiders, and they got sold as slaves in Ireland. and there he would work as a shepherd and really suffer from both hunger and the cold. After about 6 years, he was able to escape, probably went to France, and then later would return to Britain when he was 22 years old. And it was during his captivity where he had a spiritual conversion. He may have studied off the French coast at Larens. He spent some time in Auxerre in France. But we do know that he was consecrated bishop at the age of 43. Had a vision where the children of the Irish moms in their wombs were stretching out their hands to him. And he took that to mean that he was supposed to go and preach and make converts in Ireland. He was emphatic in encouraging widows to remain chaste when he got there, and young women to consecrate their virginity to Christ. He would ordain a slew of priests. He was the one that divided Ireland into dioceses. He would hold church councils, founded a bunch of monasteries, and always urged people to increase their holiness in Christ. He would suffer opposition, obviously, from the pagan Druids who were in charge in those days, and was criticized in both England and Ireland for the way he conducted his mission. But in a very short time, they experienced the Christian spirit and actually got to the point where it was the Irish that would go back and Christianize Europe after they went through the problems on the mainland there in Europe. He did write his confessions called Confessio, and that's one of the few authentic writings that we have about Patrick. And he ended up being buried actually in County Down in Northern Ireland, a place that Father and I got to visit when we were there back in 2015. It's hard to believe that was almost 10 years ago now, Father, when we sat on that big rock and had somebody take our picture there. But, So St. Patrick, who they will celebrate this coming Sunday, all kinds of celebrations going on. I guess if you want to go to a parade, you'll have to go up to New York. They had Philadelphia had their parade last week, but I'm sure there'll be plenty of ham and cabbage to go around this coming Sunday. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Father.
St. Patrick, it's known that his grandfather was a priest and his dad was a deacon, and that the mother, it's believed, was the sister of St. Martin of Tours. So a very holy family. So Patrick knew all the prayers when he was taken as a slave to Ireland. It's amazing, you know, so Christ-like Patrick. And I think of that breastplate of his, Ken. Christ before me, Christ with me, Christ behind me, Christ above me, Christ on my right, Christ on my left, Christ when I lie down, Christ when I arise, Christ in the heart of every person who thinks of me, Christ in the mouth of every person who speaks of me, Christ in the eye that sees me, Christ in the ear that hears me. So Christ-centered. You know, it was like he was hemmed in with Jesus Christ. It was like, you see the definition of a saint. You know, like St. Paul, I no longer live I, but Christ lives in me, and they see Christ in everyone beyond the idiosyncrasies and the sinfulness and the shortcomings and the character defects. Patrick would see Jesus in the very ones who captured him, who took him as a slave, who abused him, who beat him up. And yet he could say this, that Christ in the mouth of everyone who speaks of me and above me and below me. But this is a saint, someone that Christ lives in again. And how did Jesus emerge so intimately and so vibrantly and so gloriously in Patrick? It was through the trials and tribulations, you know, that what he went through for 8 years as a prisoner. And that's what purified him. And that's how Jesus would emerge in him. And then after all the abuse and everything, and he would be on that hillside there, Mount Kilpatrick, I guess, where he was tending the sheep as a shepherd, because that's what Jesus, he would take that title, the Good Shepherd. And he would be the Good Shepherd of the Irish people. Only the sheep would be the Irish people, the Irish pagans. And he just fell in love with the people. It's like Jesus, you know, how he loves us. despite all of our sins and flaws, there's something beautiful in us. And Patrick saw that. And, of course, he hears about the ship. There's a boat that, you know, for his escape. And I heard he had really traveled like a couple hundred miles to that ship. But he heard the voice, be ready for a brave effort. And that was the effort, you know, to come back to the very people who hurt him, who made him suffer, and to bring Jesus to the Irish people. It's just so remarkable. And yet, we're all called to be like Patrick. We're all called to be saints. And we all have trials. We all have tribulations. We all suffer. But so often, we waste the suffering. You know, we're called to do penance, and we're doing penance all day long. I mean, just to get out of bed in the morning is a penance. But I can waste that, you know, or I can say, you know, Lord, I offer this and offer it up to Jesus Christ on the cross, and there'll be a grace that will come and transform me, caught in traffic, you know, just washing the dishes, cleaning the floors, cleaning the house. They're penances. And yet we don't even realize it, but they're wasted. You know, we hear so much today, Ken, where suck it in or deal with it. You know, the good nuns, the Immaculate Heart Sisters, when I went to St. Gabe's, was offer it up to Christ on the crucifix. And something beautiful is going to happen to our souls. We're denying ourselves. We're doing what he tells us. We're picking up our cross, and we're following him. He's taking us somewhere. He comes to transform us in the Father's love, to take away sin, guilt, shame, destroy death, and bestow eternal life that has already begun. Whoever believes in me has eternal life. Whoever eats my body and drinks my blood has eternal life. So these saints really show us the way to Jesus Christ and to love our enemies. I mean, this is the Sermon on the Mount, you know, Jesus come, and he gives us a beautiful sermon. Love your enemies. Pray for your persecutors. Do good to those who do bad to you. Are we really doing this? And if we are, gosh, we're doing it for Jesus. And something's going to happen to us, and we're going to experience this intimacy in our hearts, this closeness with Jesus. He'll be emerging in us. People will be seeing Jesus in us. They'll be experiencing that peace, that joy that the world can't give or even take away. But you know, all the saints can. They give us such a wonderful example of Jesus Christ, who's so close to us, who wants to emerge in us, who wants to shine through us, because that's what a saint is. A saint is someone that God shines through. A saint is someone that Jesus lives again, a new light from heaven. Patrick. There was a couple of sayings that I like, you know. There's a sister, Michael, little sister of the poor, and she was born in Ireland, and she gave me this about the Trinity. You know? And I remember her sister, she was probably 90, and sat down, and she dictated to me, and I wrote it down, you know, and she had it to memory, but this is what she dictated to me. In Tara met the kings and chiefs of ancient Innisfail. And pagan fires were lighted up before the gods of Baal. When a bearded stranger with staff and cross in hand approached the kings and rulers and before them took a stand. Majestic was his bearing, though he bore no axe or sword, for Patrick was a soldier of the peaceful Nazarene. And when he spoke of one true God in whom are persons three, they wondered and they doubted and they asked, how could this be? Then stooping down, St. Patrick plucked a shamrock from the sod and holding up its triple leaves, thus spoke to them of God. Let the center leaf the Father be. The right is like the Son. The left is like the Holy Ghost, and yet the three are one. Now converted and convinced, by this his hearers were baptized, and that is why the shamrock still by the Irish is always prized. You know, Ken, when I was growing up with the shamrock, we all wore it, the shamrock, but it seemed to be an Irish symbol, you know, macho symbol. You know, we always had that shamrock and, you know, in our shirts in St. Cage's, the Irish parish, and, you know, but it's a spiritual, it's a religious symbol. It represents the Holy Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. You can just see Patrick picking that up off the ground, that shamrock and one leaf and three persons. And what a mystery that is. I was saying this today, I think, maybe yesterday, about the shamrock, you know, and it was a confirmation, and the bishop came out, and he asked the kids the questions at confirmation, And he said, "Who can tell me about the Trinity? Explain that for me." And one of the children, a boy, raised his hand. And he said, "Well, you see, Bishop, it's like this, that we have one God in three persons, but only one God in three persons." He said, "Can you expound on that, son?" He said, "Well, yeah, well, the stem is one God, and the leaves are three persons, one stem, one God, and the leaves, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit." And the bishop said, "Well, I really don't understand it all, son." He said, "Well, Father, Bishop, you're not supposed to understand. It's a mystery. It is a mystery. But in all mysteries, as St. Augustine says, it's partly hidden and partly revealed. What's hidden is how that all can be. But what's revealed is God is three persons in love with one another, totally in love. And, you know, you look at our souls, it's like, it's Trinitarian in a sense that we have intellect, memory, and will. And there's a unity there that we're called to be together in that unity. But yes, the Holy Trinity, and, you know, just to love God the way God loves us, the way the saints show us, Ken.
No, and, you know, I was thinking about that this morning in meditation I was doing in around suffering and in particular Christ's passion, which is, you know, something we tend to think about this time of year during the Lenten season. And, you know, if the three are that tightly bound, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, then, you know, it occurred to me that, you know, it wasn't just Jesus that was on that cross, that he's so intertwined with the Father and the Spirit that, you know, in some form, the three of them are on that cross. And it would seem to me that the Father would experience some of that suffering as well. And I could be far off, but I know I think about the Blessed Mother and the sorrow and pain that she experienced watching her son go through all through that passion. The more I've read about it, thought about it, prayed about it in the past few weeks, the more, you know, I realize it, you know, the crucifixion wasn't, you know, the only thing that went on, that whole 24 hours leading up to it was so full of pain and suffering, and not just the physical pain that Jesus experienced, but the mental anguish, the emotional pain that he suffered, and not only that he suffered, but that, it you know, his mother had to suffer as she watched. And I have to believe now that you know, that the Father and the Spirit all experienced that suffering to some degree. And like you've, you know, talk often about, you know, no father would send their son to die for a pack of wolves, or a pack of dogs, but he'd certainly do it for his other sons. But that doesn't mean that it was it was easy for him to do, right? The idea that that was going to be the plan, and that they probably knew it early on. It wasn't something that all of a sudden got sprung on Jesus when he was 33 years old. That, you know, that there was you know, a bunch of suffering all along the way. And so, and it's going to be a theme today, I think, in the 5 o'clock hour. I got Father Chris Marr coming on, who wrote in a book, Finding God in Suffering, and that Patrick Ireland gave pretty good reviews of. And we'll be talking to Father Marr a lot about the Catholic perspective on suffering in the 5 o'clock hour. But accept that suffering when it comes, and nobody wants it. Not a whole lot of people ask for it. I know people that, believe it or not, have asked for it in hopes that it would bring about, you know, something greater, either for themselves or family members or something along those lines. But I don't know too many people that actually, you know, say that they want to take on more suffering than they already have. But when it does come, and it's going to come sooner or later, I don't know anybody that gets away living a whole life without any suffering. But when it comes our way, you know, to not, like you said, not waste it. And you know, it sounds trivial, but, you know, offering it up to God and to join our suffering with his suffering. And that's the other thing that's come to light a lot recently, is that, you know, with God, you know, we say there is no time. It's always in the eternal. And so any suffering that has happened before, any suffering that's going to happen in the future, and any suffering that's going on right now is all part of that eternal that God lives in. So we can still make use of the suffering in our past. Not that we're necessarily going to look forward to our suffering, but to make use of it and join it to Christ's suffering, because if everything exists for all time in the eternal, then certainly his suffering continues to exist.
Yeah, suffering, you don't have to ask for it. We're going to get it. Nobody dies healthy and nobody gets out alive. But yet, I think sometimes when you ask for suffering and all, you know, sometimes they're like self-proclaimed crosses. You know, the Lord's not asking us to carry that cross. Just the crosses that he sends us, that's tailor-made for us, and that he gives us that strength and that grace, you know, to carry our crosses. But the crosses that he sends, because he's always bringing good out of it, and the purgative, they're purifying. And it's, you know, a lot of us, we don't want cancer. I don't want a wheelchair, you know, a sick bed. But yet, this happens to us, you know, if we're fortunate enough to get sick and not die suddenly. But yet, you know, I see it as a purgative process, you know, purgatory, really, where God is getting out of us all that shouldn't be in us. And he's burning it out. And he's doing it with great love. And, you know, it has to come out, the self-centeredness, this pride, this anger, gluttony, greed, envy, lust, sloth. He has to get it all out. And sometimes, you know, we're not doing our part. And if we don't do it, God will step in and do it for us because of who we are. We're his children. Think it too, Ken, the Jewish people, they wouldn't have a hard time. What father would let his son die like that? And yet, he did. You know, and Abraham and Isaac, he was offering up that son of his, right? And yet, God, the Father, stopped that. But he didn't stop the one for his son, because he saw us. He saw us all from the cross. And he saw us through the eyes of his son, because he was one with his son. And that's the great love, you know. Mm. And I think of the Irish people, Ken, you know. They fell in love with God. And they knew God's love. And Patrick and these great saints of Ireland, they were on fire with God's love. And I'd just like to end with that poem called The Irish. What shall we say about the Irish? The utterly impractical, never predictable, something irascible, quite inexplicable Irish. Strange blend of shyness, pride, and conceit, and stubborn refusal to bow to defeat. They're spoiling and ready to argue and fight, yet the smile of a child fills their soul with delight. Their eyes are the quickest to well up in tears. Their faith is as fierce as devotion is grand. And there's no middle ground on which they'll stand. They're wild and they're gentle. They're good and they're bad. They're proud and they're humble. They're happy and they're sad. They're in love with the ocean, the earth, and the skies. They're enamored with beauty wherever it lies. They're victor and victim, a star and a clod. But mostly they're Irish, in love with their God. In love with their God, as God is in love with us. Just look at the crucifix. Really, it's extravagant, outrageous love, Ken, that we may go home where we come from and live forever in the household, in the kingdom, in the new paradise, in the glory of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. And on this beautiful Wednesday afternoon here in the Philadelphia area, we are approaching the bottom of the hour, so we're going to take a short break. We want to have our Is That Odd or Is That God segment when we come back, but in order to do that, we need your phone calls. If God's touched you in a particular way in the past couple of weeks and you want to share it with our listeners, by all means, give us a call. The numbers are 610-527-2906, 610-527-2906, or call us toll-free, 888-343-2484. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
This is Pat Lally. I have been a faithful listener of In His Sign for almost 9 years. So it is with much gratitude and appreciation in my heart that I reflect on how my life has been blessed through this beautiful anointed ministry. I personally have been the recipient of many answered prayers and healings, not only for myself, but also family and friends. You have been called, Kathleen, to speak all over the world, and wherever God sends you, the Holy Spirit uses you in amazing ways to touch the hearts and lives of God's hurting people through your extraordinary gift of healing. God bless you, Kathleen.
You're listening to In His Sign Catholic Radio, empowered by the Holy Spirit, bringing the fire of God's love to the world. We are blessed to have had this Catholic radio apostolate for almost 40 years now. Thanks be to God for your partnership. Without you, this radio voice would be silenced. We have a monthly Mass offered for you, our loyal family of listeners. It's our way of saying thank you for underpinning our apostolate with your many prayers and financial support. This is your radio ministry, to be a voice for those who have no voice, to evangelize and to catechize for a time such as this. We know the Lord will bless you abundantly. He can never be outdone in generosity. If this ministry has touched your heart, help us to touch other hearts by supporting us with your prayers and financial support. Call us at 610-527-2906 or visit our website at inhissign.com.
And welcome back to Saints and Sinners, your host Ken Johnston and my good friend Father Douglas Michael McKay. Before we go to the phones, just a quick update and rundown on the Calyx meetings here in the Archdiocese of Philadelphia and nearby Wilmington, Delaware. The Calyx Society is a great organization for Catholics in 12-step programs where our motto is we substitute the cup that sanctifies for the cup that stupefies. We meet every Tuesday in the Grace Ferry neighborhood of South Philadelphia at our Matt Talbot Chapel at the corner of 29th and Dickinson Street across the street from St. Gabriel's Church. We get together at 6 o'clock with adoration, followed by Mass, and then a Calyx meeting. On the third Tuesday of each month, we go over to St. Gabriel's Church, where we have a holy hour from 6 to 7, followed by Mass. And that will actually take place next Tuesday, March the 19th. Again, all are more than welcome to come, especially on that third Tuesday. I don't know anybody these days who hasn't been affected directly or knows someone directed affected by addiction. So you're more than happy to, or more than welcome to come down and pray with us next Tuesday. Again, that's March the 19th. That's 6 o'clock for the Holy Hour, 7 o'clock Mass. Confessions will be available during that Holy Hour as well. We have a unit at Queen of the Universe in Levittown that meets on the first and third Thursday of the month at 7 o'clock in the Parish Center. Their next meeting will be on Thursday, March the 21st. The Glenside unit, my home parish is St. Luke the Evangelist in Glenside, meets on the third Saturday of the month. So that's coming up this coming Saturday. We go to 8:30 Mass Saturday morning and then have our Calyx meeting afterwards. Again, that's this coming Saturday, March the 16th. There's a new unit at the Malvern Retreat House that meets on the third Sunday of the month. So they're going to get together this coming Sunday. Again, 4 o'clock Mass in St. Joseph's Chapel, followed by refreshments and then a Calyx meeting. That'll be this coming Sunday, March the 17th, St. Patrick's Day. And the unit at St. Francis of Assisi in Springfield meets on the last Saturday of the month. They go to the 4 o'clock Vigil Mass, followed by a Calyx meeting, and they'll be gathering on Saturday, March the 30th. And in nearby Wilmington, Delaware, we have a Calyx unit that meets every Wednesday at 6:15 p.m. for Mass at St. Matthew's, followed by a Calyx meeting. And in the 5 o'clock hour today, I'm going to be joined by Father Christopher Marr, and we'll discuss his book, Finding God in Suffering. So you want to stick around for that as well. So we have one caller on the line. I'll give out those phone numbers again. If God's touched you in a particular way or anything else you want to talk about, the numbers are 610-527-2906, 610-527-2906, or call toll-free at 888-343-2484. And we're going to go to Frank. Hello, Frank.
Good afternoon, the famous Ken Johnson and Father Douglas, Michael McKay, and if you're listening, Captain Lou Campione. How you doing?
There you go.
I have a
3-1.
Excuse me? a couple of things. I have a, is this odd or is it God thing? But also I want to ask Father Doug, do I have permission to have Guinness beer this Sunday?
No.
No.
How about root beer?
Yes.
Okay.
How about ginger ale? No. Is this odd or is it God? Last week, Thursday night, like in the Friday morning, when I went to bed, I woke up sometime, like early Friday morning, my left knee was bothering me. Didn't think twice about it. Friday, the nurse comes to my house for my foot care, my wound, ulcers, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Friday morning, I couldn't get a shower because I couldn't raise my leg to get into the tub shower. It was bothering me too much. It just kept getting worse and worse all day Friday. Friday night and Saturday morning, I went to bed early. Every time I fell asleep, I woke up, I moved my knee, it was bothering me. Around 4 o'clock in the morning, I have a statue of Bishop St. John Newman. My dad always took me there as a little kid, you know, 5th and Girard, the shrine. I said a prayer to Bishop, I'm holding a statue. I said a prayer to Bishop St. John Newman. I touched the statue on my left knee at 12 o'clock, 6, 3, and 9 in the middle. I said, Bishop St. John Newman, I can't take this. Please take away the pain. Within seconds, I felt a tingling sensation in my left knee. It wasn't right away. It was a gradual progression. It got better. 4 hours later, I got up for the nurse. I'm sorry, the nurse was already passed. I just got up. The pain was 90% better. So, I mean, I don't know what happened. I asked Bishop St. John Newman to take away the pain, and it was almost right away. A couple hours later, boom, gone. How about that?
Honor God.
There you go.
You know, Frank, I was thinking about his prayer. I don't know if he wrote it or not, but every morning John Newman woke up, he said, Lord, help me to remember that nothing will happen today that you and I cannot handle. So it was you and the Lord that St. John Newman brought you to that cross of Jesus, that suffering of Jesus, and Jesus took your suffering and pain. But he let you have a little bit. But you can be
Father,
united
Father
with
Doug,
him.
The funny part was,
so I
guess
Ken,
I wasn't clear when I asked Bishop St. John Newman help my left knee.
Frank, hold on.
I was favoring my right side so much I couldn't bear weight my left side. Then the right knee started bothering me. But it's not that bad. But also, next Wednesday, are you going to be live next Wednesday?
Yep.
Okay. I got a special announcement. Sometimes you have a recording, you're on vacation or something. Next Wednesday, I got a special announcement for everyone to hear. Get out your pen and paper, your tape recorders, make sure you don't miss it. And that's it. And Captain Lou, thank you very much. And Ken Johnson and Father Doug, as always, you guys are legendary, and I appreciate it. And everyone listening, call in, talk to Ken and Father Doug. Thanks, guys.
Thank you, Frank.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, I'm going to have to reach out to Kathleen today for somebody that's legendary. I guess we deserve a raise, huh?
Yeah.
Anyway. Good
Couple
to hear.
Salary.
Yeah, right. Good to hear Frank's being so upbeat today. Always good to hear from him, but especially when he's upbeat like that. So, thank you, Frank. The phone lines are clear. You're more than welcome to call in. Join the conversation. The number is 610-527-2906, 610-527-2906, or call toll-free at 888-343-2484. You got a odd or God you want to share, Father?
No, I think I'm all right, Ken.
All right.
I was thinking about, just to close up with that, St. Patrick. And what hit me was, so we didn't mention the Celtic cross. And that's so beautiful, where the Irish pagans are worshiping the sun god, and Patrick brings Jesus. And then you see the circle around the Celtic cross, which we have on the lawn here in front of our mission house, on the lawn of St. Gabriel's Parish next to the church. And it's huge, and you see the circle, you know, and how, you know, our Lord overshadows all the other gods because he's the true God. But the afterthought I had was this, that how the Lord wants us all together, God the Father, that he has no grandchildren. We're all his children, all of us, Jew, Gentile, male, female, Irish, Italian, rich, poor. We're all his. That's where we come from, you know. And just one of us is worth more to him than the whole universe. What mother or father out there, listen, wouldn't give everything for their children? And that God the Father, I mean, if he gave us his son to die like that, he'll give us everything else that's good for us as well. I mean, what greater gift than giving us his son? But what hit me, Ken, was this, that God could have raised up an Irishman, you know, a pagan Irishman, and sent him to Rome and learn the gospel truths and bring it back. No, he wanted a foreigner, like you know, Patrick calls himself a Roman or a Briton. We're not really sure, but yet we know he wasn't Irish. But it's a foreigner who comes and unites the people. And it's like the Holy Spirit trying to, Pentecost, uniting us all together as one, one eternal family of our Heavenly Father, that we're all his children because he has no grandchildren. That was just kind of like the afterthought, Ken.
Amen. Well, we don't have any callers. We got some time left. I think we spent like 4 minutes with St. John of God last week. Did you want to maybe go back?
You know, I think I'll share just shortly the outer God that's been on my mind. You know, it was, let's see, Monday morning. I woke up. I'm on the porch at the Heaven's Gate, the gatehouse of Mount Vernon Retreat House there, in St. Joseph in the Hills. And I'm just pondering, you know, about the Gospel of Thomas, which is an apocryphal gospel, comes to mind, where our Lord says in that gospel, unless you become like little children and kick off your clothes, you shall not enter the kingdom of God. And that stayed with me, because I always repressed that a little bit, because I always saw that as an impurity, but it's not. It really isn't. That we're coming back to our innocence. And I carried that thought to Mass. St. Patrick's went to the 9 o'clock Mass, and I'm sitting there, and I'm thinking about, you know, being a child of God and getting back really to that innocence. You know, the spiritual life is not growing up. It's growing down, becoming little children again. You know, that simplicity, that unity, that children being totally dependent upon God, like little children are upon their parents. You know, they're not worried about tomorrow. Neither should we be, because God the Father will take care of everything in us. So I'm thinking about this, and, you know, I started seeing myself coming back at 7 years old because I wanted my age of reason. Then I heard a talk by, in Malvern, Rob Longo was talking about, being children, thinking of our first communion, and that kind of reminded me of 7 years old reason. But then little flower hit me, you know, her spiritual childhood was 3 years old and she was like a toddler. But that morning it was like, I'm younger than that. I'm going back to when I was created, first spirit, let there be a Douglas Michael McKay. And I happen, then it gives me body, and then I grow and I mature and I get older and older, my body. But this ache in us, this ache, this thirst in us is to get to God where we come from. You know, our hearts are restless until they rest in him. And so I see myself more or less like that little child that's naked in the arms of the Blessed Mother, who gives me to Jesus, who presents me to God the Father. Naked I came into this world, and naked I shall return to my Father. But as I'm pondering all these sentiments of being like little children, very little before God, all of a sudden I hear these little footprints coming into the church. And they're the pre-K children, you know, they're little children. And I'm looking at them, and I'm thinking how pure they are, how innocent they are. And Mary B., she said, pre-K only come once a year into the for Mass, once a year. And this was all happening when I was having these thoughts. And I'm looking at these little children and look around. Everything's new to them. They're excited, and they're not talking to one another. You know, they're well-behaved. But and then when they come to the Our Father, that's what really hit me. When they came to the Our Father, Ken, we remember in St. Richard's, the kids didn't know all the prayers, the little ones, but they knew the Our Father. And they would raise the rooftop. You know, they would bell it out and shout it out. And that's how these little children were, pre-K. They knew the Our Father. And it hit me. Our Father. I'm his child. Just like these little ones. And that we're all his children. But seeing those little children enter into the church and bawling out the Our Father, that was my honor, God, Ken, because I'm his child, his eternal child. And he'll do anything for me and for each and every one of us because I am his child. And I'm worth more to him than the whole universe. And so are you, Ken, and so are all of our listeners. If he gave us his only begotten son, he'll give us everything else that's good for us because we are his eternal children.
Amen. All right, we did get another caller on the line, and we're going to go to Derek from the UK. Hello, Derek. Derek, are you there? Yeah, he's online on the other line. Okay. Derek.
Hey, Ken.
Hey,
good
brother.
Good to hear you, Father Doug. Good evening.
Good evening. Welcome back.
Hey, Derek. Hey, good to hear your voice. And I was listening, getting ready here for bed, and I said, oh, my gosh, when I heard you talk about St. Patrick, my heart was jumping for joy. And I thought I'd bring in with a wonderful truth story of another Irish saint, or perhaps I should say somebody in the communion of saints that we don't quite know of. I was visiting my daughter in Oxford University on Sunday morning. We went to Mass. And at the end of Mass, I was praying in the side chapel in honor of Our Lady of Oxford. And I was praying for my wife and our two girls. And I was so taken back, kneeling in prayer, seeing in the peripheral of my vision a man kneeling on the other kneeler to my right in a tweed green jacket. And he carried with him an atmosphere of complete peace and joy. And in my mind, I'm thinking, I can see this man in my peripheral vision. That's a beautiful jacket. I must have a look. So when I looked, I was so amazed to see no one there. And feeling the atmosphere of great peace, I turned back to my gaze to the beautiful image of Our Lady of Oxford, and I carried on my prayers for my girls. And the same image and sight of my vision came again. But this time, my mind was filled with the image of a man that we now know as C.S. Lewis. And I'm calling him Saint C.S. Lewis because what I'm about to tell you is wonderful. And I heard a voice that said to me, she will be okay. And I was so taken back by that. And I'm thinking, who's going to be okay? You know, my wife or my daughters? But I gave thanks to God and finished my prayer, and my mind was filled with the image of a book with lots of letters in envelopes, as if to say, this is a letter from heaven, and the message in it reads, she will be okay. Now, a couple of hours later, I arrived home, and my wife, within 30 minutes of arriving home, was taken unwell with loss of vision in her right eye. So we had to get her to the emergency room, where they confirmed that in the peripheral image, the peripheral parts of her eye, she had a bleed. And they said, well, thank God that it's not causing a retina tear. It's a bleed. We believe this will heal. You've actually had a bit of a miracle that it, because it was right on the retina and it didn't cause a tear. So we were so taken back by it. We were so devastated to know that 1 minute she had perfect vision, and a split second later, she had this serious issue in her eye, having to go to the emergency room. And then they're confirming that, look, it's quite a miracle. There's no tear. And I just wanted to say thanks be to God for that, because I'm now calling C.S. Lewis, Saint C.S. Lewis, because in that communion of saints, there are so many saints that, you know, okay, they may not be canonized, But we have a great army of brothers and sisters in that heavenly cloud of witnesses that are surrounding us in such a real, tangible way. You know, in these days and in these difficult times, the saints are truly there with us. I thought I'd share that with you and to encourage you all to realize that it's not just the known saints. We have unlimited number of saints praying for us in heaven.
Amen.
Amen.
I know what Father's going to say. Go ahead, tell him, Father.
What about St. Therese?
Yeah.
St. Therese said that the greatest saints in heaven are not the canonized ones.
Ah, oh, man. So beautiful.
No, Derek, I was listening, you know, I was intriguing hearing that peripheral vision of yours, and then your wife with parishional blindness, and
correct,
then you could see clearly out of the side, and she couldn't. And, you know, I was just thinking about the gospel when you hear about physical blindness. It's always has something to do with spiritual blindness, you know, that whatever happened to your wife, something happens. We're closer to God. We have a better spiritual vision. But I was wondering, the man in the green, did you see that person at C.S. Lewis? Who do you think that was?
When I looked, I was surprised that there was no one there, but in a supernatural way, and I wasn't thinking of C.S. Lewis. I'm there praying at the end of Mass for, you know, to the Lord and asking Our Lady to intercede for my girls and my wife, just for general things. You know, there was no health concerns or anything. But my mind, in a supernatural way, was taken over, and it was like he was standing right in front of me, as if I'm looking into a camera lens, and he's smiling at me. And then hearing the words, "She'll be okay," and I'm like, I'm not asking if anybody's okay. I'm just here in general prayer. But I'm looking at him, without a doubt, it was the face of C.S. Lewis. He's an Irish man from Belfast. He got a scholarship to study in Magdalen College, which is not too far from where the church, St. Aloysius, is based in Oxford. So, you know, it's close by, and, you know, it's nice to know that we could have a saint there.
Very good.
Yeah.
That's awesome, Dark. Thanks for taking the time to call.
God.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I appreciate the phone call.
God bless your wife, you, and your children.
Is your wife's vision okay now? Or?
Yeah, it's just a slight bit blurry, but it's, you know, it's a miracle, really, that it didn't cause a retina tear.
Very good.
So thanks be to God for that. And, you know, through it all, when I explained it to her after Mass, hey, this is what happened at Mass. We didn't know that within a couple of hours, she would have this issue with her eyesight. And if anything, it's drawn us so close like a magnet to God, and our faith is just amplified. So rather than being devastated, we're giving thanks to God, you know, for he is good. You know, his love truly endures forever.
Very good.
Amen. I'd just like to encourage all your listeners, you've got the communion of saints on your side, and what a great heritage our Catholic faith is.
Amen.
Amen. God bless you all.
You too. Thanks for the call, Derek. Great to hear from you. 2 weeks in a row.
Eventually coming to see you guys. I just feel so. I've been telling Kathleen as well. I really must come and see you guys sometime.
That'd be awesome. Come into the studio.
Yeah.
We'd love to have you.
Yeah. Take care. God bless you
all. God bless you. Bye-bye now.
Keep calling in. God bless you.
And
all the way from, wow.
Yeah.
Great.
Yep. And we got another caller on the line. We're going to go to Matt. Hello, Matt.
Hey. Hello, guys. How you doing?
All right. How are you?
I'm doing great. I'm doing great. I have a question, okay? You know, Jesus said, you know, Peter asked Jesus, how many times must I forgive my brother? Seven times? And Jesus said, the one that I like is where he said, no, 70 times seven, okay? Meaning, like, our forgiveness must be, you know, if, I guess, always there, not, you know, unstopping. What about compassion? Okay, and here specifically in this context, now I'm in recovery, okay? And I certainly have compassion for anybody who is, you know, suffering with active alcoholism. But, and you know, I think that compassion requires me to not only feel sorry for them, but try to help them. But where would Jesus expect, you know, what happens when there's a guy who's clearly just not getting it, not wanting to get it, keeps making the same mistakes over and over, and where, you know, I'm at my wits, you know, I'm done with it. And I feel like because I can't help the guy. You know what I mean? I just can't help him. Where does that fall in my, am I breaching my duty of compassion in that instance?
Father, you want to go first, or you want...
Okay, yeah, something you said, Ken, about pray for the stranger, he kind of warned you out. But God never gives up on us. Thank God he didn't give up on you, Matt, when, you know, you were out there, or when I was out there. He persisted in coming after us, the hound of heaven. And compassion, you know, you have compassion on the soul, on the person, on our brother, on our sister. Not on their sins, not on their bad behavior, not on their shortcomings and character defects. I mean, that's not who they are. That's the false self. So my compassion is on their true self. You know, it's that fine line. You know, don't judge, you won't be judged. And don't condemn them, and you won't be condemned. Now, that doesn't mean we don't judge the sin and condemn it and speak out against the sin and the bad behavior. But not them. I don't know what they've been through. They might be getting a higher place in heaven than I am, because maybe all their lives they were sinned against, where I wasn't. Only God sees the heart, and I don't. But that's the whole thing, the Sermon on the Mount. Love your enemy. Pray for your persecutor. Do good to them. And sometimes the good for them is maybe somebody else has to step in and help them, because I've gone the distance. But I'm still going to pray for that person and offer sacrifices for that person, just like Jesus Christ did for me. So that would be my response, Matt, for your compassionate question. Ken?
Yeah, no.
Okay.
Yeah, no, and, you know, we can't beat ourselves against our heads against the wall when we're trying to help folks. Maybe, you know, whatever it is that we're trying to do to help them, it's just not getting through. And sometimes the compassionate thing to do is to either let them, you know, fall deeper. And we hate to say that, but, you know, there is only so much we can do. So they either have to get to the point where they really want to listen to the advice that we're given, or they need to get that advice from somebody else. And sometimes I know in my own situation, sometimes the pride gets in the way, and it's like, you know, I know what they should be doing. If they would just do what I told them to do, they would be a whole lot better off. And maybe true, maybe false, but I think sometimes my pride or my ego may get in there. But to let them either experience another bottom that actually forces them to do something, or to find somebody else that, you know, and maybe if they hear the exact same thing you're telling them, but from another person, that they'll actually listen to it. So
he's already moved on to a new sponsor who was telling him the same thing.
Yeah,
you know, I like Father's thing. My obligation is pray for him.
Amen.
If I say pray for him, and then, you know, everything else is, you know, because I can't help the guy. I agree with you. That's what the old timers would say. Man, yeah. You ain't ready.
Yeah.
You got to go get beat up more. So go get beat up more. And, you know, they were wise people. But I just wanted to make sure I squared that with Jesus. You know, what Jesus would want me to do. I always look at that situation.
Very good.
Can't
help somebody who doesn't want to be helped.
Amen.
Yeah, a lot of
times,
guys. Matt, people.
All right, thank you, Matt.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, Father.
Are you still there? Yeah, a lot of
I'm
times, you know, people are mental, and, you know, there's a graceful, like I'm on the phone. I can be hours and hours with somebody, you know, and they're going around circles. And how do I get out of this? Gracefully. I got to go. I have another commitment, and I pray for the person. But they could drain me so much where I can be helping somebody else. So you're not being unchristian by doing that, and God will send somebody else to help them. But I'm not the Messiah, you know. I can't heal everybody. But I can love everybody just like God loves me.
Very good. We're up against it, Father.
Just like I love you, Father. You're
all
the best.
Thanks, okay, Matt. Father, we got 30.
Thanks,
yep. Father, we got 30 seconds, pal.
Name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. Lord, we ask your blessing upon us all, especially those who suffer with mental illness, those who are out there suffering with addiction. Lord, you're the healer. You're the redeemer. Just touch them through the lives of people who care for them, and friends and family members as well. And bless us all, dear God. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Mother Mary, St. Joseph, St. Patrick, all the angels and saints,
pray for us. Pray for us.
Amen. Hey, Ken.
All right, Father. Thanks, pal. We'll see you in the morning. For our listeners, our 5 o'clock guest is already on the line, Father Chris Moore, and we'll be talking about